The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, growing up, my dad would occasionally invite coworkers to our house for dinner. Different business partners of sorts at Honeywell, where he still works. And for quite a while, for the past couple of years, his department had a really close relationship with a department of Honeywell that was based out of Bangalore, India. And during the years, this partnership produced a lot of fruitful exchanges. My dad went to India several times, as well as several people from India coming out to Minnesota. And I remember one such coworker dinner visit where this person from India came to our house and we had dinner and exchanged gifts and had fantastic cultural conversation. And then after this conversation, we went on a nice summer walk around Medicine Lake, the lake where my childhood home is located just outside of Minneapolis. And while we were walking around the lake, I remember our guest standing on the shores of the lake and staring at it for a while, and it was a pretty good-sized lake, and he says, "So this entire lake freezes over in the winter." And he repeated that question again, and we said, "Well, yeah, and you know, January and February, you can drive a pickup truck on it, and you can go ice fishing and all this stuff." And he just stared out at the lake. To finally, he just... first he says a few expletives after that, and then he says, simply, "You know, I can't even imagine that. Like, I cannot imagine that happening." And he kept saying this throughout the rest of the evening about how this concept of freezing over was outside his realm of imagining. Well, if you take a look at our gospel text today, verse 34. And I know it's not really marked in our celebrate insert, but it actually should have brackets around it. And verse 34, if you don't have it, reads like this. "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" This verse is a really interesting verse. In many ways, because it is not found in the earliest manuscripts of the Gospel of Luke. It is pretty obvious to historians who study this Gospel that this verse was added later, even possibly 100 years later, after the original writer wrote it. And I find this incredibly interesting, as this verse is quoted so many times in our present day. This is a beloved verse to many, many Christians. And yet, it probably was not written by the original writer of Luke. So why not? Why wasn't it part of the original text? Well, perhaps it is because these words of Jesus on the cross are so radical, so unbelievable, so crazy, that Luke's original community, a community that was suffering indescribable amounts of persecution and despair, they couldn't imagine it. They couldn't imagine it happening. How can forgiveness come, even from the cross? It can't be possible, right? This last week, I was doing a training down in Dallas, Texas, which focused on community organizing. And community organizing, for those of you who aren't familiar with this term, is the process of leading cooperative efforts, usually by local residents, to promote interests of their community. And it really is a very effective way in which communities can deepen relationship within themselves as well as focus on issues that are important to them. And it's kind of interesting how during this training, we delved into the history, and almost every major movement in the United States began with local community organizing. The labor movement, union movement, women's suffrage, and of course, civil rights, all started with a group of individuals coming together and wanting something different. Organizing for specific goals, I learned this last week, can bring a lot of good. But here's the real challenge. The real challenge that the speakers kept hitting at again and again and again throughout the week was that in order to do any of this, you have to imagine something different. The phrase of the training was, you can't organize what you can't imagine. You cannot organize what you can't imagine. So, what can we imagine? It's Reign of Christ Sunday today, the last Sunday of the church calendar. It's a very interesting story of how Reign of Christ Sunday came into being, which I'm not going to get too into, but it was created by the church for very political purposes. It was created to demonstrate that no matter who was in power at the time, no matter who's president or who's king or ruler, Jesus Christ is the one who reigns supreme. We are in the reign of Christ always. And now there is no denying that this is true and important for all of us to remember. However, you know, if you ask me, I think that just kind of throwing around reign of Christ and saying to ourselves, well, Christ is our true king, becomes kind of a cop-out. I think too many Christians say, you know, Christ is my king above all, and yet there are many Christians that do very un-Christ-like things, and I think, in fact, have really no idea what Christ is my king really actually means. And so it kind of becomes, in my opinion, kind of a generalist empty saying that really becomes hollow within the church tradition. And so if it were me, you know, we either have to reclaim this term or I think get rid of it, because I think it doesn't really mean what we think it should mean. So how then can we imagine reclaiming this term of reign of Christ? Well, I think, you know, if we're going to reclaim this term, the only way that I kind of think that we can do this is going back to my dad's coworker flipping out at the lake freezing. Reign of Christ Sunday can be a Sunday that challenges us, maybe, to imagine the unimaginable. And then it demands us to start working and organizing in order to make that unimaginable reign of Christ real. It challenges the church to say, yes, there can be forgiveness on the cross, even if Luke's community could not imagine it right away. You know, we think of these two other men that are hanging on the cross. Our text today calls them bandits. And, or we think of them maybe as thieves or stealers or murderers or something, but they probably were something else. We know that the Roman Empire has records that they used crucifixion kind of as a special type of execution. It was the most gruesome of all execution styles, and so they saved it for special kinds of crimes. Normal crimes, even murder, was not punished in this way. So the most common crime that crucifixion was used for was actually community organizing. These men were probably protesters. They were probably freedom fighters whom the Roman Empire wanted to make an example of. They were probably working towards imagining what their communities could be and to free them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. They were probably ones with incredible imaginations, yet they could not imagine what the reign of Christ looks like. Save yourself and us, one of them says. Such a shrill call of despair. Well, it turns out that Jesus does save himself and them, but not in the way that they imagine. So then how can then in our imagining something different, something new, I think also the challenge is how can we also be open to something that shakes our imagination, that comes true but is not in a way that we thought would happen? I met a priest at this training who was from Little Rock, Arkansas, who told me about the pervasive, absolute pervasive problem of payday companies in his community. And many people in his community, in fact at his church, would try to get a loan, but they didn't have the proper documents. They didn't have a driver's license. They didn't have the documentation needed to go to a regular bank. And so they were forced, if they were going to get a car, if they were going to get any type of loan, the only option for them was to go to these payday companies, which littered the main street of their town. And these payday companies charge something like 30 or 40% on every loan that they make. In fact, he told me of one couple that was paying $600 a month on a $3,000 loan. He, of course, saw that this was a huge problem for his congregation and his community. And so he started to push the state legislature to, well, we got to get something done. We got to pass some legislation against these crazy payday loan companies. And so they brought up a bill, and it failed. It failed in the Arkansas legislature. And so he was incredibly depressed and incredibly had a lot of despair. Until one of his members of his congregation, who was vice president of a local credit union, came to him and said, you know, Father, I know that you've been fighting for a piece of legislation to fix this in your community. And you know, I was kind of talking with our several other vice presidents and CEOs, and why don't we do something about that? And we work at, you know, transferring these loans from these payday companies to our credit union. And we'll back them, if the church is in support of this. And so that's what ended up happening. And in fact, he was saying that in his community, it has been so successful. They have transferred almost 1,000 loans from this payday companies to this credit union. And in fact, some of the payday unions have actually closed up shop because there's no market in this community anymore. He told me, you know, we are making incredible headway at addressing this problem, but in a way that I never, ever, ever thought possible. Things happen, even on a cross. May we then have the courage to imagine a better world this day, this reign of Christ day. But may we also see our imaginations pushed and pulled and reevaluated, broken and renewed, so that we can see there being a new way of hope, a new way of help, a new way of equality and justice. What can you imagine for this day? For today is the reign of Christ Sunday, and in the love of God, it can and it will become reality. Amen.